Heavenly Father, your children are here before you this morning, Lord, to acknowledge that you are the one true living God. We thank you for who you are. You made us in your own image and likeness, and we are your children standing in front of you right now, about to hear from you. Lord, we ask that you bless every single member here present this hour in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come right now and minister with us. Speak a word because your servants are all listening. And Lord, I dedicate my life unto you. I dedicate my vocal voice unto you this hour, Lord. Speak through me so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you. This I do ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, Christian friends. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read from Luke 1. It's quite a lengthy lesson, but I'm going to read selected verses because of time. I'll be reading from the New International Version, but you can follow up with any version you have because it's quite a familiar passage. Luke chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 13. Luke chapter 1, 13, reading from 13 to 15 and 18 to 20, then we'll drop down. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 13. If you're there, say amen. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." Verse 15. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." Drop down to verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am old. I am an old man, and my wife is well along the years." And the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." Amen. Let's just drop down to verse 26. A man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will bear a child and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over his house." Mary said, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." In verse 37, it says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Let's stop there. Amen. Amen. Last week, we were here, and Brother Moindo said, "Christmas is near." Before we sang the hymn, he said, "Christmas is near." And for many of us, we know that song. They say it's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. In some places where you go to, it's not too much so in Goma, but in many places when you go, the moment you enter, you feel that something is about to happen. You see decorations everywhere. Christmas bunting, some of our houses are all decorated. Even us, we are busy going shopping, trying to get gifts for our loved ones, trying to get all kinds of things. And if you're a parent with one and one child, you are in trouble, because you try to get gifts for all your children. And the funny thing is, children nowadays are into this space where they not only look what you give to them, but they look what you give to the other person. Because in their eyes, it's unfair when you buy too much for one person than the other. So as a parent with more than one child, you have to be diligent how you buy. You make sure you don't spend more on one person other than the other. Even the boxes that you wrap the gift, they all have to be in the same size, because you want to make sure that you are a good parent and in their eyes, you love them all equally. But if you are a parent with more than one child, there is one area you always struggle with raising children, is the area of discipline. Because you good well know that what works on one doesn't necessarily work on the other.
especially the last one. I can raise my hand, I'm a last born. I know that the rules that applied for my brothers and sisters, my elder brothers, never worked on me, much to the annoyance and disgust of my elder siblings. And maybe this is the same attribute you can put to God, because God loves us all equally, but he disciplines us differently. And if you want to look further than that, just look at the text we all read, the book of Luke, when the angel appears to Zechariah and tells him a message, and the angel, same angel, appears to Mary and gives the same message, and they all both ask the same question, yet they were disciplined differently. So my text for you this morning is called Gabriel's fourfold message. Let's say that together. Gabriel's fourfold message. What is the fourfold message? The angel shows up to Zechariah and said, Zechariah, the Lord has heard your prayers. You are going to bear a son. His name will be John, and he will be great. That's the fourfold message. The Lord has heard your prayers. You are going to bear a son. His name will be John, and he will be great. And Zechariah looked at the angel and asked, how? Because what you got to understand is, Zechariah was an old man who lived in Jerusalem. He lived in Jerusalem, Judah. And his wife Elizabeth was also an old woman. The Bible tells us that scholars tell us that they were more than 90 years old. So Zechariah looked at the angel and said, me in my age, and watch how he throws his wife under, and she also, how can this be? And when the angel heard, when Zechariah says how, the scripture tells us the angel was annoyed. He was angry. You know what? It's a little cleaned up in the Bible. Let me give you my own translation, William Lewis translation. The angel looked at Zechariah when Zechariah said, how can this be? And the angel said, what did you say to me? Do you know who I am? I am Zechariah. I stand in the presence of God. Put some respect on my name. Say, I am Gabriel. So, thank you, brother. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Put some respect in my name. God has sent me to give you a message, and all you could say was to doubt. How? Because you have doubted, I'm going to shut your mouth for 9 months. You're not going to say nothing until this child is born. For that's the punishment for you doubting what God has said. 6 months later, same angel shows up in Bethlehem, appears in Mary's house, say, hey, Mary, the Lord has favored you. You are going to bear a son. His name will be Jesus, and he will be great. And Mary asked the same question, how? And watch the angel. You don't have to worry about that, baby. You don't have to sweat all this detail. Listen, 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 Mary. The Lord has seen you and favored you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. You will bear a son. In fact, matter of fact, pack your bags right now. Go to your cousin Elizabeth. You will see what the Lord has done for her. Did you get that? Two people hearing the same message ask the same question, but the angel disciplined one and the other one is comforted. So the question you might want to ask yourself is, what is it in Zechariah that made the angel angry? And what is it in Mary that made the angel to comfort her? Look at the person next to you and say, that's a good question. That's a good question. Because the answer to that is this, that when God is trying to build up an environment, negativity disturbs divine environment. That's point number one. Negativity disturbs divine environment. Now, during the course of this year, we've covered a lot. And one of the things we met, thank God my brother is here, when he spoke about how we use our tongue, things that we say, how we respond to things that we say, our tongue. Because sometimes what we say can be in the opposite of God's will in our lives. And we have to be careful that what we say doesn't impact negatively in the spirit realm. So Mary's, Elizabeth's pregnancy served one purpose, Mary's encouragement. Because in 6 months, Mary is going to show up. In 6 months, Mary is going to have problems with understanding things. In 6 months, Mary is going to need somebody to be in an encouraging environment. And the last thing Mary needs is for Zachariah to start running his mouth and what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. Because in that season, Mary needs an encouragement because his negativity will disturb the divine environment. Amen? And this is a lesson to us. That's why in some cases, people don't like to talk their affairs. Because some people have some negative vibes that they run on you. And if you're not careful, that negative vibe will impact you and disturb your faith. And it doesn't align with the word of God to make it be manifested in your life. There are some people that you have to move away. Because their negativity affects your faith. Believe, beloved, it's not only in the church, but even in our workplaces. There are some people, every day, they don't have anything good to say. You put them in an organization, all they can do is to criticize. All they can do is to run their mouth, what can happen and what cannot happen. And they kill the enabling environment that God is trying to create. And even in church, you dress up in the morning. To find all your way, drive all your way to come to the church because you need an encouraging environment and you happen to meet somebody that all that person has is just negativity. You don't need to hear any of that because you come here to hear the word from God. You need an encouraging environment so that you can build up your faith. Let me give you a joke. There's one guy, the story goes like the guy wanted to kill himself. So he goes on top of a bridge and start talking all kinds of things. He wants to kill himself. And one guy came and said, hey, brother, what's the problem? And he starts explaining all the things that has happened to him that he wants to kill himself. And in the end, both of them jumped. Both of them jumped and they died. Because why? The other person allowed that negativity to actually infiltrate into him. Scripture says in Mark 5, 21, Jairus' daughter is dead. And Jesus shows up. And looks at all the people in the house who are crying, who are wailing. And Jesus says, stop crying. She's not dead. She's only asleep. And the Bible tells us that everybody started laughing at Jesus. What did Jesus do? He kicked them all out. He showed them the door. He put them all out. Why? Because if he's trying to build that environment of positivity to actually believe that that daughter is not dead, she's only asleep. He doesn't need any negative environment. He has to kick them out. And sometimes that's what we all need to do. To move away from negativity. Because negativity disturbs the divine environment. Amen. Amen. One of the things I like about Pastor Creflo Dollar is the way he puts and narrates Bible teachings. And one series I like when he says, how to cooperate with God. Because what you need to understand is, God has his own path, and we have our own path. Folding hands and leaving everything in God's hands, that's not how it works. God will do his part, and you've got to do your own part. Now, watch this. The angel appeared to Mary. Before I give you this point too, just watch this. The angel appeared to Zachariah, and the angel appeared to Mary. Okay? The angel appeared to Zachariah, and the angel appeared to Mary. A father in one and a mother in another. Now, why, if the angel appeared to Zachariah, why didn't he appear to Joseph? If he appeared to Mary, why didn't he appear to Elizabeth? You see, this is not a gender equality thing. This is much more deeper than that. The angel appeared to Mary and he didn't appear to Joseph because Joseph hasn't got anything to do with it. Mary's pregnancy is by the Immaculate Conception. Let the church say that. The Immaculate Conception is the power of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Mary never told Joseph that she was pregnant. The Bible says Joseph found out. She went to her cousin 3 months after she came back. So the angel didn't appear to Joseph because Joseph ain't got nothing to do with it. But in Zacharias and Elizabeth, it's different. It's not by immaculate conception. It's by the old-fashioned The thing we know in Sebeka, newborn babies. Newborn babies. God creates the possibility of opening the womb of Elizabeth, but Zachariah, you've got to make a move. This is the part my brother Aaron normally say, fire. You've got to make a move. So the angel is God is displeased with Zachariah because if God is creating the possibility, he needs an action on your part. So that's the second point of the sermon, that God's promises often demands action on our part. God can create the possibility, but you've got to make a move. God will open a job appointment, but you've got to fill out the application. God will make a way and put your name off of the promotion, but you've got to learn to show up on time. God will bring you your husband or your wife, but you've got to learn the responsibility of looking after yourself first before you can look after somebody else. God creates the possibility, but we've got to make a move. Amen. Amen. But that's not all. This gets deeper. This gets deeper. The angel appeared to Mary and said, you are favored. And he appears to Zechariah and says, the Lord has heard your prayers. Mary never asked for a baby. But Zechariah, you have been praying. So how is it that when the Lord shows up and says your prayers have been answered, then you have doubts in your mind? If you have doubts in your mind, why bother praying? Oh, I don't know what I came to preach to this morning. But you've got to make a move when God opens the possibility. You've got to make a move when God puts you in that space. Because God's action, God's promises requires action on our own part. Amen. God's promises requires action on our own part. I've got one more point to clear. God will open the doors. God will create the possibility. But you've got to learn that that negativity will disturb the environment and that God's actions, God's promises demands action on your part. Amen. And the last one, when you put the two together, Mary and Zechariah. Zechariah is old. Mary is a teenager. Mary is a teenager. She hasn't seen anything. She hasn't seen life. Nothing has happened to her. She's still under parental care. So you can understand why she has questions. You can understand why Mary has doubts. But Zechariah, that Muse, is an old man. It's an old man. And so here moves up to point number three. Because the older you become, the more you ought to trust God. Did you switch my mic off? The older you become, the more you ought to trust God. Because Zechariah, you are old. You've been at the temple. You've seen storms. You've seen miracles. God has delivered you. God has moved you from one decade to another, up to the years of 90. How can you not trust God, a priest in the house? Because if you look at the scriptures, it tells us that Zechariah is the one who gives word to the people. God speaks to him and he gives the word the message. So if you're doubting God, what do you expect the others to do? Because the older you become, the more you ought to trust God. I don't know about you, but me, I like getting old. I love myself getting old. Because the older I get, the more handsome I become. The older I get, the more I care less about what you think. The older I get, the more I learn to trust God. Because I've lived my life to see that God has moved me through civil wars. God has moved me through storms. God has moved me through Ebola. God has moved me through COVID. God has moved all of us to volcanic eruption. How can we not trust God in this house? The older we get, the more we ought to trust God. Beloved, let me leave you with this. You know, there's a difference between CV, curriculum vitae, and resume. Curriculum vitae, CV, when you're applying for a job, and resume. Resume can be a one-page document. It's just about your achievements. But a CV is a list, it's a long list of your qualifications and experiences. So that's the difference between a CV and a resume. Beloved, as I grow older, my CV on God becomes longer and 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 longer. And I'm sure your CV also on God becomes longer, because God makes ways for you every morning. God wakes you up every morning. God moves miracles for you. God opens doors that no man can shut. God moves in mysterious ways. So we ought to trust God. As the more we grow in the spirit, the older we get, we ought to trust God. So you can understand why the angel was annoyed with Zechariah. Because number one, negativity disturbs the divine environment. And God's action, God's promises always demands action on our part. And the older we get, the more we ought to trust God. Amen. 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 Beloved, this is Christmas time. We're moving into that space where we recognize that the Savior is born. What would you give him for Christmas? Would you give him your heart? Would you give him your mind and your soul to know that born is the King who is here to save us? Let us pray. Father, Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that as we move into this season of Christmas to celebrate your arrival, that we know that you are here to bring peace to all men. You are here to bring peace to all men. You are here to bring peace in this land of Congo. You are here to bring peace in this nation of Goma. Lord, we are here to bring peace and goodwill to all men. Lord, as we go and we celebrate your birth, let us remember that negativity destroys your environment. That your action, your promises always requires us to do our own part. And as the older we grow, as the older we get, the more we will trust you forever and ever. This is my prayer. In the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let all God's children say amen.